Welcome back to Ed Bigotti, a show of random conversations by people with Bigotti. Sometimes educational, surprisingly insightful, but mostly random and tangential. Very sorry guys for the 2 weeks hiatus. As you've seen from our social media posts, my birthday was a few weeks ago and me and Eric's birthdays are about 1 week apart, so we decided to have a 2 week break, if that makes any sense.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And Eric, what do you think about me calling our fans Bigotillos?
Sure, why not? Whether they have the necessary features to be called such, I guess. I mean, that is a good question, right? Like, what about those who lack certain important features? Would you still be calling them Bigotillos?
I don't know. I was mostly thinking of a name to call our fans, which is related to Bigotti. So, and when I searched Bigotillo, it also meant a small mustache. So, seems apt.
Okay. All right. I mean, I guess that's better than the alternative, which is a nickname around the name Wet.
Wet? Droplets?
You know. Something like, you make us wet. I'm kidding. Okay. Jesus. The 2 week break has not done any favors for my mental state.
Well, we all need a break. You know, the challenges of podcasting and the stress from it is very hard.
Yeah, very stressful.
Very stressful. And I really thank the fans for listening. Actually, I found out a few of our friends are avid listeners as well, which is really great to hear.
Well, yeah. I also found out that I have someone outside of our friend group who is a regular listener. When we met up for dinner, she told me that, oh, yeah, I was listening to her podcast. And I'm like, oh,
okay.
I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. You're sure. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like a different mask for us as well. We have different facades we show the public.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, that really applies to me because I'm a totally different person, like a stranger, basically, if you meet me on the street or even at work. This is all fake, guys. Yes. This is not the real me.
Yeah. Eric is very fluffy, bouncy when you meet him.
Jesus Christ. I am the human version of the grumpy cat. That's all I can say.
Without the hair, right? Just the bigore.
Sure. I mean, I've got hair in places that I wouldn't rather have, but yeah.
All right. That's a bit of laughter. It's always nice. And because today we're going to, I mean, the topic is quite heavy, if you will. And we've just had both of our birthdays and we're almost out of calendar days to describe our age. And again, age is just a number, but sometimes we can see it's like a clock winding down. I don't know. Seems, again, a bit heavy. But we're going to talk about a bit about mortality. Eric, do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know if it's a coincidence that Mortal Kombat just released a few weeks ago.
A few weeks? It's almost a month.
Yeah, it's still a few weeks. 4 weeks is still a few weeks, okay?
All right.
Don't attack me. Come on. That's not cool. I mean, I didn't even watch the movie, so I didn't really care. I don't have a lot of investment in it, so don't. Anyway, mortality. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it's like it's always been there. On the back of our heads, and we've, especially in the last few weeks, and especially it's been a little we've been over a year with this pandemic, and we've had some sad news from friends and families, and it makes you think about it from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, like, in as many months, there have been, I think, a handful of people who I've personally known.
Yeah.
And kind of grew up with in some cases.
Yep.
And it's kind of a shock that, I mean, it's really hard knowing that, you know, these people are gone way too soon. Or
yeah.
Like before, I guess, what is an acceptable time. I know when I first, because this is something that, like, I guess you triggered when you sent me that message about one of our friends.
Yeah.
And kind of like, it reminded me that, yeah, you don't really know
when
the time is, you know, when it's up. And when you have to punch your ticket, as they say.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of like start reaching out to friends and saying, hey, boys.
Yeah.
Our friend group specifically. Hey, boys.
Yeah, we did.
I love you all like brothers.
Yeah. And you as well, the listeners. We love you all. And also our friends. Again, if we haven't made it clear, we love you and we're not afraid to say it.
Well, I am in person, but here in the podcast, I'm going to go like, I love you.
Well, actually, you brought up a good point. Would they actually say it in person? I've always been vocal in regards to like chat or again via podcast, maybe even calls, but not really in person. I guess that's another level. But especially those our close friends, they already know what we are, what we mean when we say that. They know, and I'm glad also our friends share the same sentiments and we are all sincere about it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, this wasn't like saying the what do you call this? The 1-4-3. It was really difficult. I really had a hard time saying it. but then I got to know someone who kind of made it, kind of got me used to speaking these three words. And I almost do it, I wouldn't say, well, daily, because I send it in messages to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even to my friends. I don't cringe anymore as much as I used to when I hear these words.
Yeah.
Case in point, like during the birthday dinner that I had with just two of my friends, they gave me a cake that said, you know, we love you. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. I love you too. I was like, yeah, okay. But not in person, like in the chat. In person, like, it's a totally different beast. So
yeah. Like we said, Eric has a lot of masks.
Yeah, it's apparently fear of these three words is one of them.
Yeah, and again, we got to thinking that maybe we don't really want not to be able to say this to any of our loved ones. And also it got to me thinking, because you'll never know, like I said, when you punch your ticket. So usually when this news of this type came, I've always been thinking about the process of it all, during the process of what should be done. I mean, like, do you have
Are you talking about the seven stages of grief?
No. Well, not really. It's more of like the what comes next part to the person or to ourselves if ever that happens to us. Like, do you have a will?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really rich per se. We don't have a lot of things. We just have a lot of friends, which is nice. But yeah, it got me thinking, like, do what? Because usually in a will, you describe like what happens next, where your things go. Somebody delete my internet history, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm good enough with the tech that I use incognito for those searches.
I don't even use my computer. It's my phone that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
just in case. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to note that I think that circumstances being what they are right now, pandemic and all that, at first, I don't think that we really considered really just how bad. I mean, not just, I mean, some of the people that we know who have, moved on or passed on, I guess, didn't really die because of the coronavirus, right? But it has kind of exacerbated kind of like the acceptance process, I guess. What I'm trying to say is that, when you're growing up, you're not necessarily thinking about these kinds of things. These aren't the kinds of thoughts you have maybe in your 40s or 50s, maybe even the 60s. It's not really something that you have a lot of time or energy to think about during your, like when you're a teenager or even your 20s, or in our case, in our teens, right? Or, not 30s, because we're not 30, whatever. So, it's interesting because it's kind of like triggered, like mentioned, that it's about, having a will, not necessarily like having like millions in the bank or have a lot of assets that you need to kind of distribute amongst your heirs or whatever. But you still do have some assets, like I guess money in the bank and all that. Although I'm not really sure the process. I would say that it's automatically awarded to your closest relative, I think. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, because like I'm sure that you remember this, that when you were growing up, we feel like we're nigh invincible. That nothing bad could ever possibly happen. Like that death is kind of like the end game. And it's not something that we're really thinking about. It's something that you only think about maybe when you do something particularly reckless. Like maybe you cliff dive, you go cliff diving, and then you almost miss the water and land on the rocks, let's say. But then even then, it's just a fleeting thought that, oh, I could have died.
Yeah, even then,
Yeah,
like,
and even then. And it's surprise, and then it's just gonna go away, right? But then now, like I said, we're not really at the stage where people normally think about these kinds of things. But because we've kind of experienced a series of these unfortunate events, I'm sorry for the pun, it's like that, where and then it's been kind of like accelerated. It's made us think about that a lot earlier than we should, Kind of like, holy shit.
I mean,
That kind of realization.
is it early or is it just the right time? I mean, I guess we're still young. That's true. That's a fact. But I don't know, when should we think about it? When we're 50s? I don't know. Because but like you said, it's because of these circumstances right now, it's being accelerated. Usually right now we should be like having fun, getting together with friends and all, not really being cooped up with our thoughts in our homes. And again, take care over there, because I didn't thought our hometown was this stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like it's an eye opener. That's kind of like this in this how would you say this fact of life where it's an issue is an altogether and as an entirely different beast when it's something that you personally experience, right? So in our cases, we haven't really, like, sure, maybe we know some people in our lives who have died. In my case, that would be relatives, aunts, uncles, or cousins, or whatever. But these people, I mean, they are in that sphere, or kind of like in that sphere of influence. But it's not really someone. They're not really people who you could say, I'm really close to, or got to know as people. But in our case, as far as I know like, I think four people in as many months who have. Past the mortal coil, and it hits different, because these are people you know that you've shared a few laughs with, that you've even teased and whatever. Some people that you have performed with. In my case, these are some people that I performed with, and it's totally different. Like, I mean, one of our friends even mentioned like he doesn't really know how to process the fact that one of our friends is gone.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
Yep. Yeah, and during the shock, especially with one of our friends, you mentioned earlier, all I could think about was that funny memory that I shared as you were playing games, and I'm not sure. I was just more concerned about that family. During that memory, I was more concerned about winning the game. Yeah, that was really it's kind of weird because when I heard news, it literally brought me back to that memory. And during this time, when I heard the news, something bad happened earlier to me. Again, my phone got snatched again. It made me think that I mean, I was still frustrated, I guess, because I lost a phone. It was still brand new, about a month old.
You're undergoing this intense emotional upheaval, basically.
Yeah, and then I heard the news then. Oh, and I'm like, what I feel, although what I felt is still valid, but it doesn't compare to those heartbreaking news, because all I lost was just a phone. Wow. Some we've also lost again friends.
Yeah. Kind
Yeah.
of like what is a phone in the face of someone's life?
Yeah. And also I've been thinking that at least again I just lost a phone. I should when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about what I could have done different, but then I realized that maybe I shouldn't struggle and just let it be, because it could have been much worse. That's what I'm saying. And it really brought a perspective to me.
Yes, that's a good point. It kind of like what is a phone
Yeah.
in the face of that? Like that is the ultimate price, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that you can really lose. It's interesting because when I heard the news, the way that people broke it to me was that, hey, do you know this guy? So yeah, I mean, I'm literally just 1 year ahead of him, and we lived at the same dorm, and our people are asking me, dude, do you remember this guy? Of course, I'm gonna remember this guy. I mean, like, I have a lot of memories about this guy as well. I know that you said that when you broke the news to me. I know that one of our other friends said that. Like, hey, do you remember? You know, I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, it's not like this person was someone that, you know, was kind of like easy to forget. Like, I remember specifically the memory that you're talking about when you were gaming. I wasn't even there. In the sense that I was not, I mean, I was aware, I was in the same building and I would visit you guys from time to time, but I was mostly in a different place. And then when that happened, for some reason, I was the first person that they had to get to kind of like address the situation. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not a dorm manager or whatever. I'm just a resident. Like, I'm a dormer. What am I gonna do? You know, Jesus, I'm not a responsible enough person, not even an adult yet. Well, technically, I was already more than 18 years old, but whatever. I'm
Yeah.
not even an adult yet. The hell do you want me to do? But yeah, it's really kind of like what I'm doing right now. You kind of think, you know, that you kind of realize when you're not really supposed to yet, or because maybe you're refusing it, you suddenly realize like this kind of news makes you realize that, oh, my clock, I'm not really sure how much time I have left. You know, my clock suddenly just stopped ticking
Yeah.
in the middle of me taking a shower, and that's it. You know, I mean, I know some people whose fear is that we're just gonna find their bodies and you know, on the floor. And I'm it's really difficult. Like for me, that is, you know, it's really hard to grasp that kind of, you know, wrap your mind around that. Like what do you do? And going back to the will, I really don't think that it's, honestly, I really don't think that 20, 30 years old is the time that people normally think about that. Because you're still in the middle of you building your career. Technically, you are still developing. There's nothing for you to leave, right? Or to leave behind in the sense that you're going to give to people whoever you think is deserving. So people don't normally think about drafting a last will and testament, you know? I mean, be honest. Even before this news, have you already thought about that?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
But not by much, but especially with the recent news, it's I've been thinking about it more. And again, because in the last few months we've been talking about financial things. Yeah, I've been like I mean I don't have much, but I've also been counting my assets, and I kind of want if ever whenever that clock stops, I kind of want the process to be easier for those I left behind, I guess.
Right. I mean, yeah. Do you even know how that thing is drafted and who implements or who executes? Like, I know from what I've read, and this is something that I haven't really extensively researched before, kind of like just, you know, stuff that I read just in the periphery of whatever it was I'm reading. Usually it's left to an executor, or in this case, that would be the attorney or the law firm, and then the executor, they will be the ones executed on the, you know, untimely event of the event of your untimely demise. But I know I'm not really sure what the mechanics is in the Philippines. Like, is the last will and testament even legally binding? Because technically, as the person who drafted it, you are not even you're
Alive.
legally dead. Yeah, sorry.
From what I've read, just quick research before, it's essentially you're just listing down what you want to do with your asset and have it notarized. And what you're talking about with those legal, what was that? The prosecutors? No,
Executor.
executor. They're the ones that make sure it gets it done. But you actually, obviously, you pay them beforehand. But obviously, since you're no longer will be alive by then, they could do some shitty stuff as well. Probably get bribed by the your whoever doesn't has no money to gain has more money to gain. I don't know.
Someone ruthless enough to do that, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on a lighter note, I think I'm a thoughtful person. A grandparent of mine, is he the grandparent? The brother of my grandmother of mine.
That's your grunkle.
Grunkle, whatever.
Yeah, your granduncle.
Yeah, a few years ago, he was a big Elvis fan, and when he died, I'm not sure, but I think I was the only one who remembered that he wanted Elvis to be played on his funeral. So I'm glad I was able to remember it and remind the family. So we just played random Elvis albums during the last day of the wake or the funeral before he gets buried. Do you have any sort of a last request during if have you ever thought about it?
I have, but it's not something that, I mean, I have thought about it, like kind of what would be, you know, the best thing. And but this gives kind of like the thought that's not totally serious or totally just a passing fancy or whatever. I used to think that I would love to be cremated and have my ashes spread somewhere significant. Where exactly, I'm not sure. Kind of like to be dramatic, kind of like what you see in movies and stuff. But then now, I'm thinking about what, you know, with the carbon footprint and all that, like what is a proper burial that wouldn't really affect, you know, or make our climate any worse than it already is?
Being cremated really affects the climate.
Well, I mean, you're still contributing to the carbon footprint of your country or your area, so.
Yeah, I mean, because I would also like to be cremated, but as well as to, I guess, to lessen the carbon footprint, at the same time, I would also like to donate some of my organs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's something that I can definitely answer. As you know, I just recently got my license.
All right, yeah.
So that's something that I already agreed to, kind of like, are there any, because there when you were when I was filling out the form, there was a section there that asks me, are you going to, what organs are you comfortable donating in the unlikely in the untimely event, in the event of your timely
Nakumud.
whatever.
Yeah.
So I basically just said everything. I mean, everything that is still viable, because I haven't really been living the healthiest of lives, whatever. So that's something that, like, if something happens to me early, and some parts of me are still viable, then go ahead and, put me to a good use. If my they're still viable, my kidney, liver, whatever, go ahead. If like the marrows and the bone marrows are still good, go ahead, whatever. But then if I die of old age, okay. Now what I think about is, you've heard of those kind of like green burials where
You
you're kind of buried in this kind of eco coffin that's kind of that has had like seeds and stuff, like trees, tree seeds, I think, whatever.
still have
But
a coffin?
yeah, you're still kind of, I'm not sure if it's a coffin or a wrap or something, but basically what the idea is that they're going to try to minimize the preservatives that come into your body. I wouldn't really specifically want an open casket viewing because, that's a morbid thing to think about. But second, also because I would rather prefer that I guess my remains, my earthly remains are converted into fertilizer for trees and plants. So like, yeah, that's the something that I would want, bury me, make sure the trees or whatever can, like propagate the circle of life, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would want the traditional Filipino wherein we do the wake thing, but oh, after that, I guess that would cost more because you're still having the coffins and the wake and the lighting and shit and the places to rent.
Well,
But again,
there are packages for that.
probably. And overall, afterwards, I guess my family will be saving less on the tomb. Is it the tomb? Because again, I'll be probably cremated afterwards. When I would also want to be made into a fertilizer. I mean, actually, you do give a good point because your body is probably f filled with chemicals for the wake. So, and then I don't know. We'll see in the future. But I also like the idea of becoming a tree or a plant or whatever, a clematis.
Jesus. Sure, you're feeding the next generation of idiots like us. Traditional wake. I don't really picture myself as someone who would probably enjoy a traditional wake were I alive to judge people. Because A, the number of people that I've gotten to know and gotten close with are really small. B, I come from a tech I come from a small family, not a small clan, but a small family that, like, it's just me and my sister and her kids, right? Maybe some cousins that I've been close to, and some friends. It's not, it's because usually the wake is, aside
It's
from the usual traditions or superstition behind it, but also kind of like to wait for overseas people to come and, so I don't really have people like that in my life. So, and I have a very small group of friends. Maybe just a one day viewing that this is what's gonna happen. Okay, guys, you're gonna come here, whatever, reminisce with your friends or your other people who kind of like their mutual friends. Sure, do that. But then the next day, he's gonna be a tree. So just back off, And yeah, you have a good point that it's really expensive, because I know that from my, this is something that I've personally experienced from my grand, my grandma's wake. That was really expensive. That we kind of spent six figures on that way.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because
I know.
she comes from a really big, huge family. And and she kind of like really had an impact in her community where people we didn't personally know, or but people who've heard of her, or people that we've heard about from her. It was like they just came and paid their respects. And yeah, so but it's also, I guess, the traditional Filipino wake is also kind of some parts
So,
income generating with all the gambling going on.
yeah.
So so yeah.
But overall, we'd really want it to be more of a celebration of life rather than, well, we can still grieve, be sad about it. But we want all of our friends and family to come together, I remember, be happy. And we still have a lot of years ahead of us. We can make that small family and friend of yours even bigger. But again, it's always nice to have it's always better to have quality over quantity, which we already have, and we are already extremely lucky and thankful about. Yeah.
Yeah, and besides, there's a lot of preparation goes into it. I don't want to sound kind of weird or anything, but the act or the process of dying has become, because it used to be that when you died, you just you scrape whatever money you could and then get yourself buried and stuff. But now, it's kind of like you're shopping through deals. There are some insurance companies or funeral services who specialize in that. Like, okay, package A, you're going to get the premium deluxe coffin and the VIP funeral process. Package B is kind of like the silver. It's not as good as as package A, but you're still going to get, but the coffin is probably just going to be silver instead of gold. I mean, kind of, I'm like, you're dead. What the hell?
Those are
Just,
vultures, man. They're preying on those who are grieving.
yeah, I mean, okay, like, and what about places to get, cemeteries? We also get like these premium cemeteries that, oh, this is the best lot. It's like you're buying a house where, there's a great view from up top because it's up top the hill. You can see the whole cemetery. Like what? Jesus, I'm dead. I'm not going to be able to appreciate the view. Maybe for the people who are left behind, if I have any, who are probably going to come to me. But the chances are high that people are just going to whatever, forget about it. So I'm going to be a tree anyway. So what the fuck? So,
A tree on top of a
that
building.
yeah. Like a municipal cemetery, those that wall thing, epic.
My
Just
God.
drawing a tree, and then people just start, calling you whatever, the death tree. Epic. Like my legacy lives on in the death tree. Like, okay.
That was nice food for thought. Here's to seeing your death tree in 50 years.
Thanks for listening to Wet Bigote, a show of random conversations by people with bigote. If you enjoyed this episode and don't want to miss out, follow us on Spotify, Facebook, and Twitter at Wet Bigote. Tell your friends about us and share the love. We appreciate the support. Until next time, you can find the full list of episodes on Spotify on bit.ly/wetbigote. Send us your feedback by going to bit.ly/wet. Bigote feedback.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.